My guest today is Mather Louth. We're going to start by playing a track from CD that she brought in. Then we're going to get into some live stuff and some interview. Check out myspace.com/MatherLouth. That's MatherLouth. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Mather Louth. How are you?
Good morning, John.
Thanks for coming in. We're having a nice, lovely East Coast weather day.
Yeah, you know, the smog seems to remind me of home somehow.
So why don't we just right off the top, tell me just sort of briefly about this project. Do you see it as Mather Louth, the person, or is it more of an act, of a concept?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, obviously there's me and I'm part of the band, but I think it's had a really interesting evolution because it started out as me kind of experimenting in my room, and that recording was just me by myself, you know, just kind of banging on a paint can and seeing what kind of weird sounds I could create. And then one by one, band members kind of came into my life, and the sounds kind of evolved from, I don't know, from what I started out into almost like more of a jazz thing for live shows, but it still has that weird kind of guitar tone to it, so there's a nice mix of sounds. Because, I don't know, I'm a sucker for a lot of feedback and distortion, obviously, but the first band I was ever in was a jazz band, so it's kind of me fighting with myself as to what direction to go into, but you know.
Were you exposed to a lot of different genres when you started becoming aware of music?
Yeah. I always tried to make it a point to listen to a band, and then if I liked them, listen to who they claimed their influences were, and then keep moving backwards. And after a while, you kind of get over, okay, that's the cool type of music to listen to, and that's not. And you know, one by one, I would kind of break down barriers, and you know, even just discovering how good real country music is. It's just, you know, it's been an interesting process because that's Patsy Cline.
it's interesting you say that because, you know, I kind of, when I started doing this show, I felt like I had a bias against country music because I grew up in a rural atmosphere,
well,
and the country music you hear on the radio is just...
Well, it's not country. It's just kind of pop with like a twang.
Right,
you
pop
know,
with a twang, yeah.
Just like when the whole Latin movement came out, that was pop music with, you know,
some
rumba
Spanish
beat
words
or something.
It, yeah.
It's like, okay, guys, that's not quite it. But
then I started interviewing a whole bunch of bands that, you know, would define themselves as Americana or country and, you know, realize these are just really good songs.
Right. You know? Well, I always have a very hard time kind of pinpointing what type of music it is that we do because... To me, you shouldn't be able to box it into one thing because then you're kind of limiting yourself and saying, oh, we're blah, blah, blah. We're a gimmick band. And to me, it's all about just kind of evolution and mixing of genres and kind of crossing boundaries. And, you know, I love the fact that I have an upright bass player because now I can never go back to having like regular bass anymore.
Right.
And having a sax player, I would never imagine that. And, you know, having a really, really gifted drummer, too, it's just, it's a blessing.
Does that sort of not being able to be compartmentalized into a simple genre category, does that also present challenges in terms of promoting your music?
Yes, because oftentimes when we get booked for shows, there's the dilemma of, okay, who can we put you with? Mm-hmm. And this is for the bookers that actually really try to do that. But I think we're kind of starting to find our place. And while we're never exactly like the other bands that we're playing with, it's kind of a complementary thing. And I think that also really helps because it kind of... Just hearing what other people are doing is great because you could... I don't know, you could find a lot of inspiration in that and see... okay, you know, that's really cool what they do, and I've never thought about doing something like that before, but wow.
Yeah. So we were talking a little about this before the interview, a little bit about appreciating other musicians and learning from them and being influenced by them as opposed to seeing them as a competition.
Yeah, it's really a sad mentality out here about dog eat dog and, you know, I'm not going to help you out because... I mean, it's such a tough industry and it's really changed over the last decade because, you know, record companies don't have the same role that they used to anymore. Mm-hmm. And record deals don't have the same influence on, you know, people's drive in the music world. So
it used to be if you were able to release a record that felt like a success, and it's like, oh, it's just
now
another
it's
record.
Like, you know, you go in your room and bang on a paint can yourself. You know, you don't need that anymore, and it's kind of a double-edged sword because on one side, you know, it's very easily accessible. On the other side, it's almost too easily accessible.
Right. There's not that separation between those who were able to distribute their music and those who weren't.
Right, right. And I don't know. I mean, to me, you know, good music is good music. It doesn't fit into any one category. It just, you know, does it move something in you, or do you just kind of, does it kind of mix in with everything else that's on the station that you're listening to?
On that note, why don't we jump into a live song?
Sure.
What would you like to play for us?
I'll do one of my favorites that we usually like to open the show with, Desert Woman. So.
Okay, so whenever you're ready. My guest is Mather Louth. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
Somehow I envision the
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Mather Louth. Great start to the show. It's interesting. It's almost like you're teasing the audience with this notion of gender identity, of femaleness. There's a moment in the song where you change your voice and it becomes sort of childlike and innocent, and then you go back to being this very powerful force. I mean, are these things that are just coincidences or things that you kind of put some thought into?
Well, to be honest, sometimes like when I'm just trying to write a song, there's a character that goes with it, and the character requires kind of a different mindset or something. And yeah, I definitely like challenging gender roles, if you want to call it that. because to me, I don't know, for women, if they choose to embrace it, it can be a really powerful thing to, I don't know, kind of tap into that masculine side and say, yeah, you know, fine, I know what women are supposed to be, but to me, I don't really want to fit into that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, to me, it's just a lot better to just go whichever way the song takes you. And I don't know.
No, that makes sense. And, you know, we were talking about this before the show a little bit about how, I mean, here you are doing something that's heavy on distortion and heavily associated with, you know, traditionally with a certain maleness, and people ask you, you know, about your chick band, you know, and how do you, I mean, oh, do you just kind of brush that aside, or is that kind of a pain?
Well, to me, it's can you perform or can you not? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about, okay, woo, women-fronted band, wow, you know, because
right.
you have good women-fronted bands and you have not so good. And it's, to me, it's just more about putting on a good show, regardless of whether I'm wearing a skirt or not.
How does the song usually start for you? Is it you get the lyrics first, or do you get a tune in your head?
There is no usual way. Sometimes I'll just be kind of playing around and playing with pedals and get a really weird sort of tone, and from there kind of start playing along with it and just figuring out, okay, what would go with this? Or sometimes, you know, I have a very bad habit of getting lyrics in my head while I'm driving, so reaching for the first available piece of paper and kind of writing that down. And for some reason, I get a lot of lyrical inspiration when I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
Something about just being in motion is good. It kind of sparks my brain for some reason.
You should get a dry erase pen and you can write it in the window.
Or, you know, I should just get one of those handheld recorders, but then I'd be too lazy to listen back to it.
Right.
And I'd have all these ideas go to waste. But
But is that how a song, like a song of yours, what you would consider one of your good songs, probably comes to you in a flash and you got to sort of get it out and write it
absolutely.
Out? Because if you wait too long, you lose that inspiration.
Well, of course, because, you know, it usually happens when you're in the middle of something and you're repeating it in your mind saying, you know, please don't forget this. And then 5 minutes later, you forget.
And right. And you're thinking, what was I supposed to not forget? It was so good.
But see, the thing is, I found that the ideas that really have a lasting impression on me, they come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I've just seen a concert, because I was at a concert recently, and I got this lyrical couplet or whatever you want to call it in my head. And I was like, oh God, I have to remember this, but I'm going to a concert. And after I got out, it came back to me. So I was like, okay, that one's a good one then.
Now that you're working with other musicians, is your process of songwriting the same, or has it changed? Is it still kind of a solo act and then they fill out elements of it, or do you also write for them?
Well, it's really changed, because it's gone from me, again, being in my room by myself to kind of thinking out everything. But once my band members came in one by one, it seemed really stupid to me to close off their ideas, because they're all very talented musicians, and I wanted to see what they saw the song as and what they would bring into it. And to be honest, everything that they've brought in, it's been like, oh, you know, I didn't think about it that way, but yeah, I love that. Go with it. And you know, just recently we've started other band members. They've brought in their songs from the past, and mm-hmm. we've worked through those. And it's kind of a fun process because I never really got used to working with other people at first because you get so self-sufficient. But it's really a lot of fun. And
with those songs that come in that don't originate with you, do you kind of have to find a way to modify them to still make them, you know, Mather Louth material?
Yeah, absolutely. Because my bassist brought in a song recently that he wrote a really long time ago. And, you know, he said, oh, I can see you doing this song. And, you know, we listened to the recording, and that was one way. And so in my mind, yeah, absolutely. It's kind of translating it and, you know, just kind of reinventing it and breathing new life into it. Because that's what they've done for all of the old songs. I mean, they've all evolved way beyond right. what I would ever expect. So.
Let's have another listen to this CD that you brought in. What are these tracks that you brought in? Are they just from a demo, from a forthcoming EP or something like that?
Well, they were actually my solo experiments. So I really like them for what they are because they have that kind of rough, around the edges discovery phase of figuring out how to record things, and you know they're clips, and it the vocals get distorted because I was singing too loud into the mic. Mm-hmm. But I really kind of love them for that reason because it's just a document of me at a certain point. And I don't know, I mean, obviously the first song was Patsy Cline cover. Well, maybe not so obviously now that I think about it. And the second track is Blackwater Davy, which, again, has really kind of taken on a life of its own live. And I don't know, it's just, it's almost foreign to go back and listen to these recordings. But I don't know, it's still me. It's just me way
it's a window to the past. All right, yeah. Well, let's have a listen. Stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org with my guest, Mather Louth.
Coming.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Mather Louth. Tell me, let's talk a little bit about playing live. What about the first time you went up on stage and said, "Hey, everybody, I'm Mather Louth. This is what I do." Was that a nerve-wracking experience? Did you feel prepared?
Oh, Lord. I'm just glad I did it way up in the valley. There was this place in Canoga Park, and you know, they're really great people. They're very receptive. And it was kind of a good breaking in experience because, you know, I've been singing all my life, but performing in a band, and at the time it was just me and a drummer, so it was very stripped down and primal, and you're pretty reliant on the other person, and of course it was nerve-wracking, and now with the current lineup, it really feels very solidified, and I don't know. I'm not nearly as nervous as I used to be. Of course, I still get them every show. Just, you know, it creeps up and I start shaking or anything. But I don't know. Something about when you find the right people to work with, you can almost just sit back confident knowing that I don't know.
How do you feel about live performance versus the environment of recording in a studio? I mean, it seems to me that you're very much connected to the live element of this.
It really, I had been dying to play shows for so long, and you get very kind of closed off when you're just recording all the time, and you need that sort of feedback from an audience, because you can think that the stuff that you're making is fantastic, but you bring it to a live setting and it just doesn't resonate with people. Mm-hmm. And live shows are absolutely just intoxicating. I mean, there's nothing quite like it. And now that, you know, I finally have been performing, I can't imagine not performing. So
what makes for a good live show, in your opinion?
Well, of course, the audience is a factor. It doesn't have to be a large crowd, but people that... I think, to me, what would be a really good show is people that are just there to drink or just there to meet up with friends. And then you play, and suddenly they turn their head and they take notice. Mm. And by the end of the show, you know, they weren't there to see a band, but they're glad that they're there. I think, to me, that's what defines a really great show, is can you win over people that, you know, couldn't really care less about seeing a band that night.
And that's, there's so much of that out there because, you know, in LA, every bar that has 5 square feet of space, extra space, becomes a music venue.
Right.
And so even, you know, in many cases, the bar isn't even fully conscious that there's a, you know, musician performing. So you when you play in LA, you have a lot of opportunities to... We have the challenge to win over people because a lot of them aren't there to see a band. They are there, right, to drink and converse.
Yeah. I mean, I remember just going to a local coffee shop and I saw two amazing bands and went up and talked to them afterwards. It was just kind of an unexpected surprise, but I'm just such a fan of music in general that seeing a great band to me is just really inspiring, and it makes me want to go home and, you know, play myself and book shows and just keep going.
You make segues really easy in an interview because why don't we do another live song now?
Helps when you're waking up.
Now that you're inspired, let's do another live song. What would you like to play for us?
It's a song called "Time Again." It's live. It's very jazzy, and I just love it live, and, you know, hopefully you'll get that impression.
Cool. Let's do it. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Mather Louth.
Said we'd go in the beginning. Ooh. Before the key had changed and roles had rearranged, I once what to make of you. This is the critical decision. There is no room for revision and the future. Yours tonight, and if I promise myself to you, if you broke your word to me, this time wouldn't be the last. This time would be the last. Choose your actions carefully. To what you're feeling. Oh, let me know. Oh, please let it go. If I promise myself to you, if you broke your word to me, this time wouldn't be the last. This time would be the last. Choose your actions carefully.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Mather Louth. What, in your estimation, is the sort of the theme that you tend to keep coming back to in your music? What do you like to write about?
for some reason, there's always kind of a religious overtone. I think there are a couple subjects that always make for good material as long as, you know, they mean something to you. And it always kind of subconsciously turns to, you know, just a religious kind of conflict, just of dealing with your own kind of personal demons, but, you know, still trying to be a good person. I don't know. You can't write a bad song when you write about the devil or God or something like that. And it's just...
Because it's something that's... Those are topics that stir such emotion in people.
Yeah. And, you know, even if you don't believe in that, that's strong in itself. And I mean, the songs, they kind of come from an abstract place, but they're always very personal. It's easy to kind of hide behind the vise of a character, mm-hmm. or put it in third person. You know, people do that all the time, but I don't know. I mean, it's always personal and it's always me. It's just me in different lights, and I don't know how else to describe it.
No, that's pretty well described. What about when you started writing music? When you first sat down and said, I'm going to write a song, you know, has there been a huge evolution since then in the way that you write and the way you understand songwriting? Or did you kind of know what you wanted to say and you've been finding ways to say it since you started?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, you wake up some days and, you know, something's on your mind and, you know, it turns itself into lyrics or a song or something. In my mind, I would always get ideas, but it was held back by ability sometimes, because, you know, I play guitar backwards, so it's like, okay, working with that limitation.
Oh, you play left-handed. That's right.
Yeah.
I just now, well, I'm left-handed. No, that's why I didn't really notice.
Well, yeah, I mean, some people, you don't even think about it.
Yeah. So you had to teach yourself how to play guitar as well in that way that's different from the way most people learn.
Well, yeah, because when I was on the East Coast, I started playing guitar with a lefty guitar and learned basic chords and moved out here without my lefty guitar. And lo and behold, there's this beaten up, nasty, bridge missing guitar that my first roommate had that, you know, I bought off him for like $20. And so rather than save up money to get another lefty, I was like, okay, I'll just give this a go and put notes together one by one. And I don't know. It's very natural to me. I don't know. It just seems to work for what it is. And again, working with my bandmates, they are just all so talented that they kind of add those colors that were in my mind somewhere that I couldn't quite articulate, because I'm a rhythm player, obviously. I'm not a lead player.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they just throw in these amazing melodies here and there, and it kind of elevates the song to a different level.
So. Let's listen to another track from the CD that you brought in.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and do some more live stuff.
Great.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Mather Louth. Stick around.
Close things.
we're back on Is Good. That ending kind of snuck up on us, huh? On killradio.org, my guest is Mather Louth. And do you have any performances coming up in the near future?
Well, right now we're pretty heavy into bringing in new material. We just confirmed a date at Tex, December 6th, which I believe is a Thursday night. Tex is on Sunset across from the Bright Spot, and just a really great venue, never a cover. You know, we'll probably be going on about 10:30-ish. Other than that, we're in the works of getting a show at Bordello, because part of the thing that we really love doing is playing at atypical gigs or gigs mm-hmm. that kind of have a character to them. And it would be with a burlesque show, which, you know, is very near and dear to my heart. So, you know, we're in the process. But right now, we just got a new drummer and we're kind of, you know, bringing him into our fold. So,
tell me about this theme. Like, I noticed I was looking at the pictures on your MySpace and also in the quality of your music, there is this recurring idea of the old brought into the new, you know, dusting off old records, old style of dress, old style of right. sound. Tell me about your connection with that.
Well, first and foremost, I don't believe in playing shows looking sloppy. You know, to me, music is such an important thing to me that looking like you rolled out of bed and got up and played a gig, it's just disrespectful.
So you want to give your audience a show, not just recreate the music that you made in your bedroom.
Right. And my guys are great because we all love getting dressed up for shows. And you know, just the classic blues bands and jazz bands, they always looked dressed to the nines, just absolutely sharp in suits and oftentimes matching suits. And to me, it's just having a respect for your craft. And I mean, people are coming to see you. I mean, if they want to just listen to you, they can buy your CD and listen to it. But mm-hmm. You have to give people a reason to show up, and you have to show them, you know, we're something to be taken seriously. And I love vintage Hollywood, and I love that sort of glamour, and kind of bringing that back is something that I think people really appreciate, because I don't know, there's so many bands that don't do that, and it kind of makes me wonder why.
I do get a vibe from a lot of bands when I manage to make it out of the house that's like like they're doing me a favor performing, you know, that I'm somehow putting them out by being their guest at the show,
right.
You know, that they just kind of rolled out of bed and like, yeah, here's some songs I wrote, you know, like.
Well, see, I mean, I can kind of understand the mentality of, you know, we don't want to just be an image or something, but
right.
It's unavoidable. I mean,
I think it comes down to more than how you dress. I mean, that can be an element of it too, but it's almost, you can just sort of see it in. You could hear it in the way they sing or see it in their eyes, you know, like, are they up there performing or are
right.
they just playing?
Well, yeah, you know, I always joke around and like, well, if I am not pouring sweat by the end of the show, then why did I just do that? And it should be an exchange. It should be leaving the audience with a piece of yourself mm-hmm. or just giving them something. And all the shows that I really remember are ones where I just left feeling different than I felt walking in. And that's what it should be about. I mean, it really, music is the universal language. So
yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. You really accomplished something when you're able to change someone.
Right. And, you know, it's always very touching to me when people tell me that the show affected them, because that's what I should be doing. You know, that's what we should all be doing, is giving something, because, you know, there's always that expression that, you know, once you put the music out there, it's not yours anymore. It's the public's. And I have to agree with that. Hmm. So
let's do another live song.
Okay.
What would you like to play?
This song is called Trouble. It's one of the newer ones. So, you know, give it a go.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Mather Louth. Whenever you're ready.
tracks. A face all full of stubble. You got shot, ships are stacked. You've been marked with your purpose. I know what you came for. Just start firing the furnace. You knocked down my front door.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Mather Louth. As I saw that song kind of sort of self fades away.
I'm
you know?
All about anticlimactic endings instead of the, you know, the typical like ching.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
You know, the lead singer jumps to end the song.
And right. So you kind of like to your songs, you know, because they're not the traditional like radio 2.5 minute songs. I mean, they're these they're a little bit longer, and they sort of represent a journey. So they go through many different chapters, I notice. I mean, do you
right.
You don't seem to have they're not very formulaic. You kind of take your audience on a little trip and leave them off somewhere.
Yeah, just you know, leave them to hitchhike.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, when I got started, I don't know. I mean, I can lately I've been writing more typical kind of verse, chorus, et cetera, et cetera. But again, it's kind of giving the song what it needs. You know, some of the songs are the chorus is one line and that's it. And mm-hmm. other times there isn't really a chorus. So I know it gets frustrating at times for people along with my bandmates because, you know, in my mind, everything makes sense. But you have to learn to translate that so that everybody else can kind of make sense of it.
Now, how far do you want to go with this project of yours? I mean, where do you see yourself arriving?
Well, to me, I think nowadays, you know, making it whatever you want to define that is has really changed. And to me, all I really want to do is tour. Just the opportunity to kind of share the music with as many people as possible. It's not about, you know, getting a multi-million dollar contract or anything. It's just, it's more about having that exchange with people and, being able to make a connection and meeting other musicians along the way and kind of, I don't know. I mean,
so with success sort of comes that access to other people, you know, if you're successful enough to be able to afford to go on tour, that gives you access to a whole bunch more people.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of my friends do tour and, they're all at different points in their careers, but there's that common passion for it, and you know it's just you have to love it, even if you know you end up just playing to two people, you know, once a month in some obscure little coffee house. As long as you love it, like that's what really it comes down to for me.
That's great.
Yeah.
Let's before we run out of time, I want to get at least one more live song out of you.
Okay.
Are you ready to jump into another one, or is it too soon?
No, it's not too soon. Okay. I think I'll do Vultures. That's one of those fun character songs, I guess. You know, just this, I don't know, outlaw type person. Because when I tried to explain it to my band members, I was like, you know, think spacey western that goes into surf rock, and they're all looking at me like I'm crazy.
Actually, before we do that, let me ask you about your voice, how you developed your sound. I mean, you have a sound that's clearly identifiable as your own.
Right.
Is that something that you built upon, that you drew influences from other people, or how did you come up with your style of vocalization?
Well, I've been influenced by all sorts of singers, a lot of male singers, but equally, you know, the first band I ever sang for was a jazz band. So I do have that kind of syncopated style and going on the and instead of the one and having weird phrasing. But I don't know. I mean, there are certain vocalists that really use their voice like an instrument, and I think that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of the most expressive and easily accessible instruments you have.
And in a lot of bands, you see the vocalist is sort of above the band. It's like the singer and the band, they're not a part of the band.
Right,
right. Because they don't use their voice as an instrument.
Yeah, because, again, there are just so many. I mean, they're few and far between, but when you stumble upon the singers that really kind of take it to that next level. I mean, one that immediately comes to mind is Beth Gibbons from Portishead. She knows how to form her mouth to get these really unusual tones. And, you know, I'm a study of a lot of different genres and styles. And, you know, Hank Williams, I mean, he had such a distinctive style. Or Buddy Holly's, like, hiccupy style. Like, it's, you know, kind of just experimenting until you hit on what works. And
I'd like to see you in a pitch meeting with a major label. So, well, we're kind of Hank Williams meets Portishead.
Well,
meets Buddy Holly.
Yeah, it's a big happy mess, but you know, it is what it is.
That's,
it's like,
great.
You know, do you like it? Do you not like it? Okay, then just leave it at that.
And you like it, and that's the most important thing. You
yeah,
know,
and
you're enjoying what you're doing. So,
well, yeah, and the guys, you
people
know,
see that.
It's a lot of fun, and they all are so distinctive in their personalities and their influences. And, you know, again, my sax player wrote to me, and I had never envisioned a sax player before. And he said, well, I'm kind of hearing a morphine style sax playing. How, you know, would you be open for trying that? And I said, okay. And it worked. So, you know, why question it? And I would love to do like the Nick Cave type of thing and have the huge band and, you know, timpanis and all that crazy stuff. But, you know, that we'll save that for
some, for your big tour.
Yeah, for some crazy concert hall or something.
All right, let's get into this song.
Okay, great.
What's it called?
It's called Vultures.
Okay. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Mather Louth. Check out myspace.com/MatherLouth. That's MatherLouth. And this episode, of course, will be available for download later today from myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com, as well as podcasts and iTunes. So be on the lookout for that.
Cause I see on all my hands, and the life I once led has been untimely dead. Calling on the vultures. Calling on the vultures. Go for kill miles around. Just to watch me go down. Know what my fate would be. Don't waste the hope of me. Well, I ain't evil, but I sure ain't holy. Listen to this poor man's story. Said I want to Jesus in all his glory.
Mather, thanks so much for coming in.
It was a pleasure.
It was great to meet you. Everybody check out myspace.com/MatherLouth, M-A-T-H-E-R-L-U-T-H. And again, you said December 6th at Tex?
Yes.
All right, that's in the Echo Park, Silver Lake area, right?
I believe the address is 1911 Sunset. It's across the street from the Bright Spot. Just look for a big French flag and you'll find it.
Cool. And if somebody wants to get some of your music, is any of it available from your website or anything like that?
We're actually in the process of recording right now because, you know, again, we have the solo recordings, but the actual sound right now is a little bit different. But it's in the works, so stay tuned.
Right, yeah, keep us updated.
Definitely.
All right, thanks again for coming in.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.